welcome this morning. If I haven't met you yet, I'm Gary. I'm the pastor of our Brighton Heights campus. It's good to see all of you here on a nice, another frigid morning. Amen? Like I said, we're celebrating in the huddle today. January's over. March is on the way. Hallelujah. I am excited about that, if nothing else. You know, we're going to continue with our Acts series today, you know, in the book of Acts. And we've been using Acts 17 as a kickoff for us. And this is where it was said of the apostles. Luke wrote in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. He says, those who have turned the world upside down have come here also. And what we celebrate, what we see in the book of Acts, is 2,000 years ago, a handful of people, it looks like 120, not only turned Jerusalem upside down, but turned all the world upside down to the degree that you and I are here 2,000 years later still talking about it. We're still talking about it. And that started with 120 people. People who were no different than you and I. We're all the same. You know, people in that upper room are people like Jared, and you know, and people like Barb, and people like Ben, people like Jim. I mean, it was just people just like us who believed that Jesus was who he said he was and believed he really did release power through the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit set the church afire. Amen? And changed the world. Change the world. And just in light of that, again, we want to see God's presence and spirit move in our own midst. We long to see that. Actually, I feel we're desperate for it. We're desperate. We need it to happen. Are you with me? Amen. Again, and just, again, so this is what we need. And just in light of that, again, I want to try to exercise some spiritual gifts here. So, Katie, I saw you. I remembered your name. That's an act of God in itself. But I met Katie a couple weeks ago. But Katie, I submit this to you. So when we do this, this is what I'm doing is what we'd call prophetic ministry. This is out of 1 Corinthians 14. All right, and I submit this to you. Katie, I really sense it. God really sees you have such a pure heart. You are really a pure-hearted individual. You're one that is tormented if you don't do something right or you even think you'd hurt somebody. You're like, you're tormented inside. And in that same way, you long to grow. You want to grow in God. You want to do more for God. But it scares the heaven out of you to think of doing more for God. And he wants you to know, look, there's a high ceiling for you in being used of him. And he wants to use you to bring a lot of influence into other people's lives, other women's lives. He has called you to this. But it's going to be scary to a degree. It's going to scare your flesh, and it's going to take some humility. But I submit that to you. Yes, that's there. He is calling you to that. And you're afraid of it. You love it, and you're afraid of it. And so I just want to encourage you. All right, God wants to do that. He's going to do it. But you have to submit yourself to the scary process. Amen? Okay, so that's submitted. That's submitted to you. All right, so that's what we want to do. And some of you don't want to look at me right now because you're afraid I'll speak to you. So, you know, one thing about prophetic ministry is remember, it does not embarrass. All right, it brings edification. Okay, it builds up. So you don't have to worry about God telling me your sin. Okay. At times he does do that, but I wouldn't tell everybody. I'd just tell you. Okay. All right. So it said, so you don't have to worry. Don't worry about those things. But this is, again, we just have to be open to God. We have a couple back here. I don't know your names. Okay. Gloria. Okay. Amen. Amen. Good. 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 Okay. God didn't tell me your name, so I don't know. So was it Fint? Okay. Amen. Gloria. Gloria. I sense that in your job, you roll your eyes. Like there are times you're just like, this is, I'm not happy. I'm frustrated here. And there's, God has more. There's got to be something else. And God hears your cry. He hears you. All right. He hasn't forgotten you. You're not going to be stuck where you are. He's taking you somewhere else in work. All right. But again, but remember, it's for his purposes. And if he has you here and you're stuck here, my words, he's teaching something. And you want to learn, God, what are you showing me? You're showing me something in this process. But he's going to move you on. Okay. So I share that. That's submitted to you. All right. That can be judged. Whenever we share these things, that's all for right now. that whenever we share these types of things, they're submitted. This is healthy, prophetic ministry. They are to be judged. They're to be judged. And is it accurate? Is it not accurate? Amen? But he said, but we want the Holy Spirit moving. God wants to move in our midst. He wants to speak to us and through us. I felt like this morning I spoke to two people that really I don't know. I feel for me, prophetic ministry flows a lot better when I don't know you. A lot of you, I know way too much of your stuff. Okay. So as your pastor, and he said, but so again, just at times we just want to let the Spirit move and take risk. There's risk involved in allowing God to use you. Amen. All right. But how many like it when the Spirit moves? Right? Yeah. We want the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that sets us apart from the Lions Club and the Moose Club. Right? That's what sets us apart. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. All right? So we long for the Spirit of God to move, but we do it in the right way. It's submitted. Right? We learn as we go, and we are humble. We are humble as we walk through it. Amen? Okay. See, so because again, it's the power of the Holy Spirit to turn the world upside down. And that next slide, Josh, the church was birthed in the ministering, worshiping power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we see. The church didn't happen in the book of Acts until God poured out his Spirit. He said, don't leave until the Spirit comes. Spirit came, and the culture was changed. The world was changed forever, forever. And again, we want to see that. So today is our connection group kickoff for our winter session. And we recognize God has designed you and I to do life together. He's designed. That's his design. That's not my idea. That's not our church's idea. That's his idea. We are better together. We're stronger together. We see this throughout Scripture, particularly in the New Testament after Jesus came. This is God's plan. Now, you can do life on your own. You can. You can do life on your own. You know, we've all met people. If you've been serving God for a while, you've met people that said, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm just done with church. I don't need church. And there, it is a reality. You can be a Christian and not be part of the church family. That is reality. But what you're choosing to do is when you choose not to connect, not to enter into the church family, you're choosing to live at the spiritual poverty line. Okay, you're choosing to live on like spiritual welfare. Okay, because God says, I have so much more for you. I have freedom for your life. I have a joy to be released for you. I want to do things through you by the power of my Spirit, but it's released when we're in community. All right, so yes, you can be saved. Someone can absolutely go to heaven and have nothing to do with the church, but they're just choosing to live in poverty while they're here, right? They don't have the resources and the love and all that God has for them, right? So again, be set free. Be set free. God has so much more for us. And that's so as we look at connection groups today, I want to encourage you. I want to cajole you. I want to do all that I can on just this side of sin to get you into a group, all right? Because we do better when we're together. And I know myself, I would not be here if it wasn't for some committed relationships, some vulnerable, transparent relationships in my life that pushed me, that people that I trusted. I respected and I trusted, and I put myself in a position for myself to be challenged, right? Because again, my wife's serving with the children right now downstairs. We would not be where we are today if it was up to us. We would not. We'd be doing something a lot easier than this, all right? And making more money. That's what we'd be doing, all right? But we open ourselves up, and because I was in those, I would not be here if it wasn't for the relationships. That's what I want you to catch. So we're going to talk today about the role and the power of relationships and fellowship in the move of God and the Holy Spirit moving through us. We all say we want more of his Spirit. Well, we want to create an environment where the Spirit can move in a greater way, okay? I want you in a position for the Spirit to move in you and through you in greater ways. I want all of us to be in a place where the Holy Spirit can move through us in greater ways. Amen? We all want that. We all desire that. And I want the Holy Spirit not just to us, but through us. And so the big idea today is, that next slide, please. The Holy Spirit works through open, vulnerable, transparent, and committed relationships. That's where he works best. That's where he works best. The more open we are, the more commitment there is, the more unity there is in the Spirit, the more the Spirit has liberty. He works through community and unity. You know, what's interesting when you look at the book of Acts, like, Chapter 1 starts out with Jesus with a small group. It ends in the very last chapter with Paul in a small group. Right? There's small groups. There's relationship happening. And we're going to look right now. We're going to march through the book of Acts like we have been. And you're going to turn to Acts chapter 2. And as we do that, let's pray. Father, we come before you in this place, Lord. We thank you for what we celebrated in communion today. We remember the price that you paid. We remember that we deserve damnation. I deserve to be separated from you with my sin and my guilt. But Father, you saw differently, and you sent your son to die for us. Thank you. Can you just tell him thank you? Let him hear your voice. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And we're here today, God. Challenge us. Move us forward, Dad. I don't want anyone here living in spiritual poverty. God, set us free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Acts chapter 2. Now, what's happened here as we get to the end of chapter 2 in verse 42 is the Holy Spirit has already fallen. Peter preached this sermon. Over 3,000 people got saved. The church began that moment in time. 3,000 people are now trying to organize and grow in God. And in verse 42, it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to sharing in meals, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Catch there, he says, all the believers devoted themselves. They were devoted in one place. Going forward, and all the believers met together in one place, shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. Verse 46, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. All the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. We see here in this last one, it says that they worship together at the temple. How often? How often does it say? How often they meet in the temple? Each day. They were together a lot. And then they were meeting in homes. See, God had done something so miraculous inside of them and challenged them in such a way. They had to be together. That has to be the Holy Spirit. I mean, they were changing their schedules. They were manipulating their schedules that they could be together in big groups and in small groups. And that's, of course, the pattern that we want to use in the church. And most churches across the globe use the same pattern. We meet in large groups. We meet in small groups to facilitate community and going forward in God. The word fellowship in verse 42 means this. It means the word is koinonia. Yeah, koinonia. That's what it is. Sharing, unity, close association, partnership. It cements believers one to another. But I really believe it is put forth by the Holy Spirit. They went into this dynamic as the Holy Spirit was poured out. I mean, it makes sense. If God's making himself real to you in greater ways, I want to be together. I got to be around it. I've got to see what's happening. So I'm looking for koinonia in my life. And again, let's just be honest as we speak here. Most Christians go their whole Christian life and never experience koinonia. Okay, they come forward in God, they go forward in God, but they don't connect. They don't open up to such a degree that they allow people to be close, all right? And who suffers because of that? Well, they suffer because they're not allowing people in, and others suffer because they're not getting the encouragement and life that they could bring, all right? So again, I want to live in a place that there is koinonia, and that God desires everyone in this room to have those types of relationships, partnership, communion, not just friendship, but fellowship with one another. Amen? We long for that. We need that. That's God. This is God's plan. We become more like Jesus because of this. We're transformed. And again, so these guys, if you look at this text, read it when you go home again, it's so profound because there was transformation happening in them, but also in the culture. It says God was adding to their number every single day. And you got to remember, this is only several weeks. Yes, I bless you. God, just several weeks ago, Jesus was crucified. There's still persecution. I mean, people aren't real excited. The Jews aren't real happy about what's going on, right? Because they're saying this guy was the Messiah. But the church is still growing. And these people are being bold. As we will see here. See, the Holy Spirit works best through unity, fellowship, relationships. You know, that's reality. It works best this way. And we want to catch that. I want you to see this reality. So, but also, too, just as before we jump into Acts 20, I want to look at Acts. What chapter is it? What chapter do I want to look at? Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Because it's also, when we're in proper relationship, dealing with stress and dealing with trouble is much easier because you're not going through it alone. You're not going through it on your own terms. You know, because a couple of things we know, as we spoke in the last couple of weeks, when the Holy Spirit fell, demonic power also increased. Okay, he attacked them from the outside with persecution and from the inside trying to cause division, as we saw last week in Acts chapter 6. All right, so these things happen. But I just want us to look at Acts chapter 4 once again and take a look at how they responded under crisis. Okay, and what's happening here in Acts 4, 5 is Peter and John, by the power of the Holy Spirit, were used to heal a lame man. Okay, they were used to heal a lame man. Guy, he was in his 40s now. He was lame from birth, and they were used to heal him. 5,000 more people came to faith, it says, because through this miraculous action. All right, and the Jewish leaders, the Sanhedrin were the Jewish leaders, they were not happy. So it says in verse 5, the next day the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. Ananias, the high priest, was there, along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? Now, what's unique is some of you remember these names. Names like Ananias and Caiaphas, we should remember, because these are the guys who were in charge and led the conspiracy and to the death of Jesus Christ. Right? These are the guys. Listen, these are the guys that just a few weeks ago crucified Jesus. They were the ones behind it, manipulating behind the scenes to make it happen. All right? And you figure they thought the problem was over when Jesus died. They had no idea. They had no idea. All right? Because, man, now they're saying he's alive. And not only that, at least indirectly by this time in chapter 4, they know that Peter and John and the apostles, they're pointing the fingers at them, saying they're the ones that did it. All right? So they are not happy. And now there's this miracle. Miracles are happening, and they can't deny the miracles. So, but catch the stress of the moment. Catch the stress. There is persecution. The Sanhedrin, these Jewish leaders, they had criminal. They also practiced criminal law, not just civil law and moral law. They were judge and jury over criminal law in the nation of Israel, and so that's what's happening. In context here, as we look at this. So appreciate what's going on here. Appreciate the seriousness of what's happening. And let's go on here, verse 23. And say, because what happened, they threatened them. They didn't beat them. They beat them in chapter 5, not chapter 4, okay? Okay, they threatened them, said, don't ever preach in his name. Don't pray in his name. All right, they thought that would help. Okay, so what happens? Verse 23. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers, told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. I want you to catch this. They were just dragged before the guys that crucified their Savior. They get out. They don't run. They don't go to the next town. They don't run to Bethany. What they do is they come together with the other believers. They come together for a mutual time of prayer. They share what happened. Immediately, it says, they got together. They went right there. And it says, that they were of one accord. See, listen, you deal with crisis and trouble best together. Together. We should have relationships that we can run to that help us through the most difficult of times. Right? And that's what we see here in persecution of the church. They got free. They didn't run away. They ran back together, right there in Jerusalem. And let's just take a look here and see what happened as they got together. Verse 29 and 31. Okay, it says, and now, O Lord, they're praying, hear their threats. Give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. After this, the meeting place shook. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. What's going on here? They've been persecuted. They run back together. They're in one accord. They're praying, God, make us more bold. What's interesting, they're not asking for protection. See, because in our flesh, what we're saying is, God, protect us. God, keep us safe. We say, no, God, make us bold. Who here needs some boldness when it comes to sharing who you are and what you believe, right? God, he's saying, make us bold. Make us bold. And what happens? Something happens that the whole place shook. It's just like Acts chapter 2. And here it is again. Holy Spirit shakes the place. And a lot of these are the same people that were there in Acts chapter 2. And the Holy Spirit comes and makes himself known in a serious way, right? Wouldn't you like to have been in that room? Or maybe you wouldn't want to be in that room, right? I mean, when the place shakes, and it's like, but we know this is God. This is God. Verse 32. What happens then? All the believers were united in heart and mind. They felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of Lord Jesus, and God's blessing was upon them all. Just want you to catch this. The longer we stay together, the more we stay together, walking through crises and trouble together, from crises and trouble from the inside, you know, issues with you, issues with your family, and crises from the outside, even persecution itself. There is a spiritual dimension and dynamic that can be released if we trust God and stay together. This is after persecution's happening. This is what's happening in the church. Power is being released. There are things happening. They're being drawn together, actually, in deeper unity. You know, united in heart means they're in sync. You know, and listen, God's blessing was upon them all. God's blessing. Even though things were pretty stressful, right? But God's blessing is happening. And here's what we got to be honest with. There's another dimension of relationship for all of us through the Holy Spirit that eludes all of us, that evades all of us. There's a deeper place for everyone in the room. For me, for those that have been saved for a couple days, listen, there's more. There's a greater dimension of power to be released. I want to be part of that. I want to be part of that growing flow of God. You know, I mean, we're all missing out to some degree. We're all missing out to some degree of the security of dealing with crisis together, of release of the Holy Spirit, of greater blessing. Man, I long for that in our lives. I long for it. Okay, so even in crisis, man, you should be running to the family of God if you're in a healthy place. The healthiest place to be is connected to the brothers and sisters that we do life together. Let's go on to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. What's happening in context here is Paul is on, this is his third missionary journey. He's on his way back to Jerusalem. And he has built some strong relationships through time. He had spent over 3 years in the city of Ephesus, which the Bible tells us is the longest he spent anywhere. But 3 years teaching and sharing and leading that young church. Okay, and what we have here is the affection. We have an example of what the affection and relationship could be in the family of God. That's what we have here. All right, so again, I want those more vulnerable and committed relationships. So let's look at verse 17. So Paul's on his way back to Jerusalem. It says, when we landed at Miletus, he sent a message to the elders of the church at Ephesus, asking them to come and meet him. Okay, and you see here by the note, Ephesus is at least 2 days' journey, typically by boat and land, okay? And he lands in Ephesus, he can't go there, but he sends for them. So that means he's waiting at least 4 days for them to get there. But it also means that the relationship that Paul had with these people was they would drop everything and travel 2 days to have some time with Paul. 2 days. That would be like you saying, okay, if I called you and I'm in where would I be? Montana. And I say, hey, I'm here just for a minute. Can you come see me? And you would drop everything and drive in your car for 2 days for a few minutes. And the relationship was that deep. They wanted to be together. They wanted to be together. There was a desire to be together. And reality is most of us are like, I don't think I could do that. You know, I have my job, I have my family. I don't think I can make that happen. But I just want you to catch, this is the dynamic of fellowship that was they were living in this moment in time. So strong that they would do this. Man, God help us. This is a demonstration of covenant. You know, and when I think about connection groups and even us coming together, I mean, there are those of us who we struggle. We try to find reasons not to relate together. I mean, we look at our schedule and say, I can't make it, instead of looking at it and saying, I can. It's so important. I need to be together. Some of us still look at it and say, I'm looking for every reason not to go. Wow, what does that say? See, and I know that's speaking to some people here right now. If you're saying, how can I make it so I don't have to go? You are not in a healthy place with God. That's reality. You are not in a healthy place because you're trying to do this on your own. You ain't designed to do it alone. Think of your track record. So, and if you don't think so, ask the person next to you, okay? They'll tell you about your track record. Amen. All right. So again, so God, this is our example. Now, what do those relationships look like? Let's look at verse 18. This is, now they're all together. What do they look like? When they arrived, Paul declared, you know that from the day I set foot in the province of Asia until now, I have done the Lord's work humbly with many tears, and I have endured the trials that came to me from the plots of the Jews. Paul's saying, you know me. You guys know me. I was with you for 3 years. You know how I have lived. You know my heart. You've seen the persecution I've been under. You've watched how I've handled these things, how I've handled these tribulations. And what I want you to catch is in healthy relationship, when you're in a healthy place, you're sharing your trials and troubles. There's a place to share those. There's a place where you can be vulnerable. There's a place, you should have relationships in your life where you can share your greatest failures, where you can share your temptations, right? We need that in our lives. And Paul's saying, you guys know me. You know the trials that I've been through. Verse 20, I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear, either publicly or in your homes. I've had one message for the Jews and Greeks alike, the necessity of repenting of sin and turning to God and having your faith in the Lord Jesus. Again, so much appreciate this, because this is what healthy relationship was. Why did they want to be with him? They know him. Well, what else, man? He never shrank back from telling them the truth. He didn't shrink back. He didn't hold back. It's like, what do they need to hear? I'm going to tell them the truth. And the message was the same for everybody. It wasn't one for the rich and another for the poor. It wasn't one for the educated and another for the uneducated. It was the same. And he did not hold back what they needed. And God, help us, because we are desperate for relationships like this in our lives. We need these in our lives. And it says he did it publicly, and he did it house to house. You know, we have a phrase that we've used here for some time, and that is that you need people in your life that are willing to tell you the last 10%. Like, who in your life can tell you the last 10% that they're afraid to tell you, right? Because all of us have that. All of us have issues in our lives we actually know need addressed. But we're not close enough to anybody, and they don't feel safe at telling you or confronting you about the last 10%. Okay? And we should have relationships like this with Paul. I don't hold back. He can share. I'm not saying he does it in the wrong spirit. Some things I'm assuming here, right? But we need to have people in our lives that tell us the truth. Tell us the truth. And again, as important as it is for spouses to be able to speak openly like that, I believe every guy needs a guy and every girl needs a girl. Okay? We need brothers to confront brothers and sisters to confront sisters. That's the healthiest. That's healthiest. Right? Again, we need that in our lives. That's the way God designed it, that his spirit can move best and we can walk in fullness of blessing. You know, our connection groups, I mean, they're what we simply call them, a group of friends that get together, read the Bible, pray, and take their next step in faith. Okay, but again, it's simple. We look to build relationship. We look to build friendship because so many of us are isolated. And I want you to know something. Again, the group always needs you. Always. You have something to give. Because for those of us that think like, I'm not getting much out of it, you're looking at it. When you're saying I'm not getting much out of it, what you're revealing is that your Christianity is still like at first grade level. That's what it is. I'm not going to hold back what you need to hear. Okay, it means because we get together to give, not to get. See, other people need you. Sometimes you need them, but other people need you. You bring something to the table. So when you go to connection group, go to give. Don't go to get. You do receive, because whenever you give, you always receive. but you keep the heart of a giver. I'm here to build other people up. I'm here to love on others. That's what I'm here for, right? If you keep that dimension right, if you keep that in your head, you're going to love it, and you'll enjoy coming together. It's not going to be a difficult thing. But these types of relationships, trying to spawn these types of deeper relationships, are what carry you Monday through Saturday, and you're not just trying to get all this on Sunday. Because the Holy Spirit puts us into fellowship. It increases anointing. These are the things that happen. I know in our connection group last time, we had people praying out loud for the very first time. We had people prophesying, daring to prophesy for the very first time. Right? That's what should be happening, because we're in a group. We're in a group like us in this small setting. It's safe, and we can practice. Right? That's what we want. That's the dynamic that we want happening. Right? Oh, amen. I think this is good preaching. I don't know what you think, but I think it's pretty good. All right, 28:29. So guard yourselves and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock. This is Paul still encouraging his church. Purchase with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as leaders. I know that false teachers, like vicious wolves, will come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock. Now, Paul's here speaking to elders and leaders of the church in Ephesus. I share this today with all those leaders of the connection groups and apprentices and coaches. All right? First, take heed of yourself. Take heed of yourself. Right? We need to be growing in God and know who we are in God. That's a necessity for us as leaders and coaches and those in training. Right? But also, we need to guard the flock. We need to guard. You have to guard the church. That's your role here. That's what you're called to do. I mean, I think of the challenges of leading a connection group. You know, which again, most people are afraid of, you know, not called to do even, all right? So he's in. So, but pray for the connection group leaders. I mean, what they're trying to do, they're trying to inspire people. We're trying to inspire you to know God for who he truly is. Okay, trying to inspire you to know who you are in God. Right? That's the two biggest things. We want to help you grow in God. Right, that's the desire that we have. And also, certainly we're guarding against disunity as Paul warns here. As Paul warns, we got to be aware of these things happening. Leaders, just remember, next slide, please. Leaders are here to shepherd God's people. And we just keep it simple. You lead, you feed, you guide, you protect. That's what we desire to do. You lead, you're an example. Okay, you feed with the word of God or your study material. You're looking to feed them. You lead people by the Holy Spirit. Allow the Spirit to move, and you protect them. That's what we desire our leaders to do. And we'll be calling them up here in just a few minutes to pray over them and bless them. Verse 35, Paul closes. He's concluding his time with these people that traveled all this way. He says, I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. Wouldn't you like it said of you that you were a constant example of Jesus? Man, constant example. Look, but Paul's really saying, look at my life. And he said this other places in his letters. He basically said, if you want to know how to follow Jesus, look at me. You want to know how to live this life? Watch me. You want to know how to care and love people? Watch me. You want to know how to handle criticism? Watch me, because Paul got lots of criticism. You want to know how to share faith? Watch me. That's a testimony I want. God. And some of us are thinking, I'd be happy with 20%, right? Well, let's work on 20, okay? Think about that. That's what Paul's speaking. Okay, you should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than receive. Which, again, is what we just said about connection groups. When he had finished speaking, he knelt and prayed with them. They all cried as they embraced and kissed him goodbye, because they never did see him again. He went back to Jerusalem, got arrested, and then had a long, circuitous route to Rome, where he was held in prison until he was martyred. All right? So again, they knew. There was a sense, we're never going to see you again. But think about this. They lamented not seeing him. That is deep relationship. That's like when someone passes in your life that you love dearly. You miss them. And this is the I want that type of relationship. See, and to me, it's so sweet to see those words that they cried and embraced. You know, because, man, I want those types of relationships in my life. Not just social. See, those aren't just social relationships. They're not just people that I have a good time with. They're people I do life with and I do ministry with. life and ministry. And every one of us is called to do ministry. Every single one. We're called to do ministry together, praying through moments of your family crisis and my family crisis, encouraging other people to take their next step in faith. And like for some of you, it's look, you're called to lead a small group. You're called to lead a connection group. I want you to be close to people that can encourage you in that. There's people that should be teaching kids. There's people that should be part of the Pittsburgh mission trip. There's people that should be even giving financially to these types of things. There's people that you need encouraged to get the healing prayer that is available to them. Like in Victory and Freedom Weekend that's coming up. I mean, there's people that need that. Let's get close. Let's do life. Let's do ministry together that people can walk in the fullness of the Spirit, let alone people sharing their faith. I want that. That's what I want. That's what I'm looking for in this life. That's what I desire. We're going to end here in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. And Paul's writing to the Ephesians. Now remember, in chapter 20, it was the Ephesians that he called for. So this is a few years later. He's writing a letter, all right? He writes them a letter. And it's at the beginning of chapter 4. It's called Unity. The middle, he's saying how we work this out together and how the gifts work together. And then at the end, starting in verse 25, we're not going to start in 25. We don't have time. But he starts laying out relational issues. This is what you do and this is what you do and don't do in relationships. This is what you do. This is what you don't do. And we're going to pick it up here in verse 29. It says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear it. Just think about that. That every word you say is encouragement to the people that hear. Wouldn't that be a nice testimony? Let all my words bring life. Let all my life be encouraged. Now, verse 30. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he's identified his own. Think about this. What we catch here, sorrow means deep grief, intense pain, sadness. He's saying, some of your translations would say, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. When we are not relating properly, when we are not relating the way he designed, you bring sorrow to his Spirit. Why? Well, one, Spirit God can't minister to you the way he desires. He can't speak the life and hope and blessing into Jim's life he desires if his relationships are not right. That's reality. That's reality. He can't move through Jim the way he desires because relationships are not right. So see, when you're not related properly, you hinder the move of Spirit. It's reality. That's reality. That again, verse, let's go forward to this one verse and just see again in verse 31, 32. He gives more example here. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Now, most of us can look at that and say, well, I'm doing pretty good with those. All right? So you got the knots, but the next part is what you should be doing. It says, instead, be kind to each other. Now, again, think about it. This is intentional. You're thinking, I am going to be kind. I'm going to be tenderhearted. I am going to forgive the people around me because I've been forgiven so much. See, it's not just what you don't do that shows your improper relationship. It is what you do. And he said, in other words, you know, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, right? Blessed are those who make peace, who keep peace. That's where God is calling us. I want to see the Holy Spirit move in greater, greater ways in our lives. And it will only happen. We can hold it back, I should say, if we're not going to relate properly. Connection groups are a place to spur these relationships. We spur the relationships as we relate this way. And again, so we want to be together that the Spirit of God can be released in your life, blessing and move through your life and stir you to do things like I did this morning that you long to do. Why do we do connection groups? God said to connect. That's why. He said to do it. But relationships release the Holy Spirit's presence and power. The results, what happens when you do it? Greater confidence, purpose, and joy in your life. Greater relief of the release of the Spirit's presence and power through the church and into the world. That is why we do it. That's why we prioritize getting together. Right now, I'd like to have our connection group leaders come forward and apprentices if they're in the room. I know we have one serving downstairs along with my wife, but can we have them come? Just line up in front of me here. Line up in front. okay. So we've got everybody here. Okay. Amen. I'm just going to run through this because, again, this is important. And these guys will all be in the back of the sanctuary here. There's sign-ups back here. They start this week, beginning tomorrow. Derek Jackson's going to be doing a men's group using the book Fight by Craig Rochelle. Going to be meeting Tuesdays at 6:30 right here at the building. Okay? Amen. Smile there. Okay, good. All right. Tommy's leading group for the very first time. He apprenticed last session. And he's doing a big idea group on Wednesday evenings here at 7. And big idea group is where we take the Sunday message and we look how we can apply that to our lives. All right. We also have Brian and Kristen Devereaux. Man, this is their first time leading also. Amen. So love these guys, real disciples in the Lord. And they're doing a study of Genesis chapters 1 to 11. Woo! Yeah, that's pretty amazing, huh? All right. Amen. And listen, you're going to laugh a lot if you go to this group, I'm sure. You might even get to chapter 2 after a few weeks. Who knows? But they are going to be meeting Wednesday also here at 7 o'clock. That's a co-ed group. That's co-ed. Jess is leading a ladies group on Monday evenings. Okay, and tell me the name.
Becoming Heart Sisters.
Becoming Heart Sisters. I constantly mess that up. That's for ladies, obviously. Becoming Heart Sisters, that's meeting at her home in Hemsworth at 7 p.m. at 6:30 p.m. on Mondays. That's terrible. Chris Snoof. Is Chris in here? No, okay. Chris will be available. Susie Stefanelli is not here. She leads a Zoom group for ladies, 10 a.m. on Wednesdays. 10 a.m. on Wednesdays. So again, if you can't get out, ladies, there's a 10 a.m. Zoom group that's available also. My wife and I will be leading a group at our home on Monday evening, 6:30 p.m., where we're doing big idea group, because we got lots of big ideas. And as we discuss the message, Angela is here representing Celebrate Recovery. Celebrate Recovery is a ministry that we have that works out of North Braddock on Mondays at 7 p.m. It's a couple hour meeting, and that's for anyone who's dealing with addictions, not just drug and alcohol, but food addictions, codependency, anger. All right, and she's here representing. So if that's you, listen, you may say, well, it's North Braddock. It's worth the trip if you're dealing with that stuff. All right, so please be sure to see her back here. All right, so what I'm going to ask you to do at this moment, I want to ask you to stretch your hand out towards them, and we're going to pray over them. Now remember, your hand's not magic, right? You're just saying, I agree. As you stretch your hand, you're saying, I agree. Can we release the power of God and the presence of God on these that are willing to serve? Father, we just thank you, God. We thank you, Father, for Derek, Lord God, and Tom, and the Devereaux, Lord Jesus, and Jess, and Angela representing Celebrate, and Susie, and Dawn and myself. God, we cry out for your anointing in our lives. God, anoint us to be able to lead. God, that we would be able to inspire people to take a next step. We'd be able to inspire people that they would know who they are in you, and they would know who you are. God, that's our desire. Father, we long for your spirit to move through every one of these groups, that we would grow in depth and purpose in you. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity. We thank you, Father. Again, Lord, that we can be part of helping each other grow. And Dad, we just pray for everybody in the room. Again, Father, we would see, God, that there's something at stake here. We hinder the Holy Spirit when we choose not to walk together. Stir us up. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. Amen. Give them a hand, you guys. Just head right to the back.